remote start, huh? Showing off. Okay, we will open the meeting. It's a work session on case numbers PU-11-163 and PU-11-165. It's April 11th, 2012. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission. We have a work session scheduled for this afternoon with our staff, which again, for anyone who may be listening in, is an opportunity for the commission and advisory staff to discuss amongst itself a pending case. For anyone who may be listening in, and for the record, this is Tony Clark, and I'd welcome my fellow commissioners to introduce themselves as well.
Good afternoon, Kevin Kramer.
Good afternoon, Brian Kulk.
And joining us from advisory staff?
Ilana Jeffcoat-Sacco.
Patrick Fahn.
Okay, and then we've got a number of other folks in the room. I guess the reason for the meeting today was specifically a couple of memos that the commission has received. There was a memo from advocacy staff today, a follow-up memo that was just distributed over lunch hour from the applicants. In addition, there was a letter that was received a couple of days ago, I guess, from interested parties. And we can discuss that as well. Anyway, I would open it up for discussion. I don't know if staff has any introductory comments.
Go ahead.
All right. The questions that we think we're going to be asking are, does the commission wish to consider this information, the information that's been filed recently? Is the information, if they wish to consider it, is it complete and useful enough for your consideration? If it isn't complete, does the commission need additional information or clarification? And if the commission needs additional information or clarification, then we also have the request by MDU and Otter Tail to meet with the commission in a work session or an informal.
Well, I'll just throw it out there off the bat. Didn't we decide what we were going to do on this and we were waiting for a pending order and we were moving forward? I mean, obviously that's what sparked things, so I can get right to it.
Well, often we had a work session. Oftentimes after work sessions, especially in settlement agreements, it sparks some other discussion. Appropriate, yeah.
I don't know that the information that we've received from that is particularly helpful to me. I mean, first with regard to the letter that was filed, I don't think there was any misunderstanding on behalf of the commission. We know exactly what advocacy staff was arguing for. What I detect is sticking in the craw of the commission is not really any of the questions that they've sought to answer in their supplemental memos or filings. It's this notion of what recourse do ratepayers have when it looks like environmental regulators, be it in North Dakota or in another state, this just happens to be in another state, make decisions that look like they're less than sensical. Or that they're not common sense decisions. But is there any recourse in a situation like that? Or are we just sort of told that regardless of what they say, if they say you have to use this technology, whether we would agree or disagree with that, we just sort of have to eat it up until the point where that technology then let's put it this way, as long as it's $1 cheaper than whatever the next least cost resource option is, do we just have to accept it and eat it? And I think that's kind of what's at the heart of this, but I don't know that anything that's been submitted here answers that question. It's more of a philosophical thing. It's not a...
I think one of the comments submitted, and it isn't anything that is really additional evidence, but it it was bringing to the commission and advisors' attention the existence of the flow-through statute, the environmental flow-through statute, because we could have a tariff on a flow-through statute in front of us at a work session, and I think you could ask the same question. Mm-hmm. Is there any recourse? And the only recourse would be denying the tariff, which is permissive, but, you know, there'd have to be some, I'm, you know, trying to play that question all the way out. And there would have to be some basis, of course, to say that now you could impose lots of different things about how that tariff is worded and how the costs are recovered and all of those things. But to outright say, no, you can't have a tariff, we're going to deny, which the statute says you could do, what kind of factual basis would you use? And so it's possible that the answer to your question is the commission has no recourse. I'm not saying that now, but I'm saying that that is a possible answer, and I'm hoping we don't have to get to whether that's the answer or not. But
how much, though? This is an ADP request. This is not a rate case down the road where it's already been built and they're coming back in front of us. This is a may have, not a shall.
Commissioner, yes, I recognize that, and I just reread your questioning on that in the transcript not too long ago, and I think that is where there is more discretion in the commission in the statute than perhaps that environmental flow-through statute would have less discretion in the commission. How the two fit together on this central question, the question in all of your minds, is harder to figure out.
Hmm. See, my concern about the flow-through argument is that while the EPA has given final approval, for example, in this particular case, to the South Dakota SIP, how do we ensure that there wasn't a lower cost alternative that might also have been approved? In other words, the standard, to me, it's not a mandate just because you met the standard. A mandate.
Just because EPA approved that.
Just because the EPA approved that.
Happened to approve that particular
right,
one that they offered.
Precisely. So do you, while the South Dakota SIP might have been the least, the path of least resistance, it wasn't necessarily the path of least cost. And so do we, again, there's been no exploration, and this memo certainly doesn't answer the question. That's, just as this was approved. Okay, but.
Yeah, I understand your question. I don't have an answer for you. I understand your question and what everyone's struggling with. Sure. I think the other thing that I saw in the filings and that I don't know was fully explored in the transcript, perhaps may have been, but was the consequence of something less than prudence at this point in time. And I saw a few new facts. Again, they may be somewhere in the transcript. I don't recall them and didn't find them. And I know the parties have told me that they want to be sure the commission understands or has before them those facts about the consequence of something less than a full prudence.
And that's clear. And that's not lost on me, and it's, in fact, compelling. I'd even say, what I consider, some compromise language here, number five in the memo. It's an attempt to provide some protection, and I appreciate that. What's also not lost on me is that while the path of least resistance would be what South Dakota SIP does, there's also some tradition. We're always up against these traditional things these days, it seems. But it's not like a far-fetched sort of out of the mainstream response to the need either. So I'm trying to be as reasonable as I can while also providing some protection.
But educate me again. How many states are paying into these costs? Not just North Dakota ratepayers.
For Big Stone?
For Big Stone. It's all us.
Minnesota, North Dakota.
No. Right. There's more than us. Mm-hmm. So to put all of it on the back of, well, if North Dakota doesn't grant ADP, then this can't be built. All those states have ADP. Have all those states approved ADP? I mean, that's outside perhaps what we talked about in the hearing, but it's reality in my viewpoint.
So. No, I think we talked about it. Mm-hmm. And if it's – and that's my – I guess let's raise the next issue that I struggle with is that very one. Now, while this might not be as extreme an example, but you are talking about a state that enjoys the economic benefit of the facility itself. It is their SIP that is their meeting. If there's a lower cost response that also would have met the standard, should that state that is requiring this higher standard, perhaps, I'm not, if it is, should their ratepayers be the ones paying for it? Now, it's similar to other situations that have been in front of us and will be in front of us. And I understand that, it's integrated resource planning, and therefore everybody has to share the load no matter what the mandate is in another state. That's just an argument that I reject. Because we could pass legislation next session that requires all North Dakota customers have to have 95% of the electricity they buy be generated by lignite coal. Now, do you think XL's Minnesota customers are going to pay their share of a mandate like that? Because they're, quote, integrated resource plan? Or South Dakota's Otter Tail customers are going to, because it's integrated resource plan? It's an extreme example, but it's not that, it's not without some analogous argument, I think.
Remind me exactly the, because I had sort of forgotten about this, the plus or minus 20%, $489 million in change, with an accuracy of plus or minus 20%. Does that mean the way the settlement is structured, is it authorizing reasonable construction costs up to 489 plus 20%, or is 489 inclusive of the 20%?
Well, I think that's what memo number five is trying to address.
Right.
Which implies to me that it means a plus.
I didn't bring my settlement, but I don't think the 20%, that's a new proposal, an offer of a new proposal.
Right. That's what
it's
I
not the existing one.
Well, the existing settlement does discuss this plus or minus 20% issue.
Yeah. Oh, does? Okay, mm-hmm. Well, we were distracted by other things.
It doesn't add a lot to me. I mean, it's already in there. It's not as if it's a new.
Well, as I understand,
they're saying, well, you could whack off, just.
No longer get the 20% overage without. And like I said, it's an attempt at some protection, and I appreciate that.
Well, Pat's looking for that. He and I have talked about the concept of caps and bans, and we say to each other quite often that because every dollar has to be, the reasonableness of every dollar has to be proved anyway,
right,
that those are unnecessary.
I understand.
However, if they do send the right signal or provide comfort level, we're not going to have any problem with it. But I didn't know if you wanted additional information from the company on whether that difference in a prudence with a higher value versus a lower value, how much that mattered to the company, or whether there was any severe consequence to that. Because I don't know that we have specific information on that in front of us at this point in time. What I seem to think we have in front of us is we need the full prudence. The consequences of not having a full prudence decision. But that's just a question of whether you would like to ask them.
How much are we supposed to consider that question, Alana? I mean, because it looks a bit,
All states have ADP. Have all states approved ADP?
Well, and let's say that this commission denied $70 million in costs, which is what we identified as the difference between the NCR and the SNCR technology, or the SCR and the SNCR technology. And so they say, well, we're scrapping the whole thing now and we're going to this way more expensive gas and wind combination. Do you think the other state commissions are going to say, oh, yeah, that makes sense? I mean,
well, that's, it's a bit.
I mean, it's a bit of an oversell, I think.
The excuse me, the 20% addressed in the settlement is the estimated capital cost to install the AQCS with an accuracy of plus or minus 20%.
Yep.
So that's what they're saying here is that the incentive would be to, I guess, cap it at
the estimated
cost. Estimated plus.
I understand that.
I mean, plus 20% is $100 million.
Yeah,
that's,
right.
That's, exactly that's a lot right. of money.
That's exactly right.
I mean, apart from this issue itself, I don't know if I like that idea of giving that much.
Well, that's what prompted our previous work
that much overage
to go just, what we did was that number I know stuck out of me right away. And that's where we ended up what we did before.
$100 million flexibility on the overall cost is more than the difference in the cost of the two technologies.
Yeah. But and it, your point, Alana, is that, yeah, but they can't take on imprudent costs no matter what the mm-hmm. cap is.
Yeah.
So, sort of lay my cards out. I mean, I get the whole argument, and I'm as frustrated as anybody on a lot of things. I think, in fairness, however, I want to also say, I mean, these are two companies that have worked awfully hard to provide the lowest cost and have demonstrated it, and we've been in the fight with them in lots of cases. I don't have any reason to sort of doubt their sincerity in trying to get the right thing for the ratepayers of North Dakota, and that's just really that tradition, if you will, is important to me, including in the history in this plant. I do think the consequences matter. As long as we're convinced of the consequences, I think that that the dire consequences that have been described are, can't be ignored just on sort of philosophy either. So I'd like to find a solution myself.
Is there a way to approve the ADP while being agnostic towards the technology for NOx? Which then leaves the question somewhat more open with regard to overall cost to kick that to a full rate case.
Well, is that's not a legal thing?
Not today.
It seems like there would be a opportunity or possibility of doing that. Seems like it to me.
I mean, the notion that regardless, keeping Big Stone operating looks to be a prudent decision.
Yeah.
The question of which technology is...
Someone has entered the conference.
The question of which technology
Richard
is...
Richard Snyder for
is used,
Lexstar Construction Company.
For the AQCS could be something that we don't decide in the context of the ADP. But leave a future commission more flexibility to decide it when the time comes. And then you can get into those questions that you had raised about.
Well, and what
decisions in other states?
Yeah, right.
See, I could buy into that method, but I'm not even beginning to buy into that. If they don't get this ADP from us, they're not, they can't do it. That's where I'm at.
Oh, I would agree with you. I think that's a misinterpretation of the statute. And we've talked about it a lot in all sorts of cases that saying no to an ADP doesn't mean that the project is denied. It means that...
No, I understand it, but they would make it sound as if you don't get the full ADP, there's just no way they're
comfortable. The project is dead.
Yeah.
That Big Stone's offline.
I still don't know if I'd buy that. But
neither do I.
But the way you just described it, I could, that would be fine with me.
Pat and I can look into it a little more. I can think about that a little bit. Okay. Figure out how it's doable.
Think about it in terms of how it may be related to the plus or minus 20% of costs on $489,397,400. Because it is sort of this idea that I mean, if there's that much flexibility in the overall cost of the project, then maybe there's a way to structure the language of an ADP such that, I don't know if that's making any sense, but it's sort of lost. It's not.
I know what you're saying.
Wash, but it's, if there's as much flexibility and cost, it's less than actually the difference, or it's more than the difference between the two technologies. So.
Well, I think like before, we need to see a draft order, and then we can sit down and go through that again. I mean, we're not going to get this the first time through, I don't think.
No.
There may be even some ways to address the issue in the order in such a way that the commission doesn't take a position on blessing either particular technology, and you just come out and say it.
Oh, yeah. I think you'd have to do that.
Yeah.
That's, I think, where your discretion is, and that's what you'd explain.
Sure.
So the commission will take the information into consideration because it's in front of you. And I mean, that's just it's part of it now.
Yeah, to the degree all the parties agree. I mean, I don't know why we wouldn't.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
You're not like, not really pretend you didn't read it.
It's just a more efficient argument of the same information, but it's, that, you know, I don't know.
But here's, I think, the problem with admitting it. There's some of it I don't like. I don't want number 6 in the record.
Yeah.
I mean, this email regarding North Dakota's speculation about South Dakota's SIP
it adds
is
nothing anyway.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, at best, it doesn't add anything. At worst, it's like hearsay. It's just not. I wouldn't want it in a record.
Okay.
So
the reason we're allowed to consider it is because all the parties agreed. Is that why we're even?
That's why you're allowed without further.
It,
yeah.
You know.
And there were a few
answer the fundamental question.
Little things in there. I didn't know if the failure of the extension of the production tax credit, I don't know if that was in before or if it matters.
It was a more expensive option before. Yes. That solved it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. If it had changed the...
Well. Okay, and we can not consider it. I just want to be sure we know what the answer is.
I mean, nothing's really changed since the last time we met this. Okay. Other than we tweaked a little bit, I don't think the draft order with.
Okay. Well, it's the whole thing is built on a premise that we didn't understand the issues before than the facts before, and I think it's clear that we did.
Okay.
So it doesn't matter to me whether we consider it or don't consider it.
Yeah, it.
But Tony's point, though, if there's something in there that we don't want to put in there, then we should.
Right.
Yeah, I'd prefer. I mean, it really isn't about how aggressively they manage the AQCS costs. I mean, that.
I would hope that's implied no matter what.
Yeah. I mean, that's something we'll be addressing no matter what. The might not be great to get into the whole 4905.04.2 issue.
Yeah, and that's not really a fact. I mean, that exists
it,
regardless.
Right. We don't have to take notice of a separate law. Okay.
So we'll say no, and no to inviting somebody, the companies, to come and talk to you. Okay.
No, in the, yeah.
For me?
No. The, I have a feeling I know the source of that. I mean, the record was, having gone over it again, it was fairly well developed on this point of the two different technologies and originally what Otter Tail had approached South Dakota with, the rejection of that, and South Dakota's taking the, as you put it, the path of least resistance. It's a well developed record.
Yeah, probably what was misunderstood was our argument. Our argument.
Yeah.
Reasons.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we're right on time for informal. Yeah, I do too.